So it's good. Yeah, stand up. Sure. Come a little further out. Look at that. Was it a great experience? Okay, great. That's good. Traditional what? Pren clothing. And did you purchase that at Calvin Klein or? Well, it's great that you're back. Let's pray together. Father God, we have sung that wonderful song to you. Listen to us praying. Lord, that is the cry of my heart, that you'd hear us as your children praying. Lord, not just here today and not just on Sundays, but every day. You'd hear our cry and you'd hear us, Lord, as we proclaim you as Lord of our life, Lord of this church. Father, we just give ourselves to you. We surrender to you, even today. Lord, as we do this as your church, we know, Lord, that there's nothing more that we'd want than to be obedient to you. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give to us each and every moment, each and every day. We pray today, Lord, for strength, for refreshment, and we pray, God, that even as we look at the health needs that just are affecting us as a family, Lord, we lift these needs to you. We pray for your will to be done. We think of Samantha and Nathan, Siva and Lori and Megan. And God, we pray again that you would give strength to the family members and you give strength to each individual. Lord, there may be others who aren't even here this morning who are struggling with colds or flus or other things, Lord. And we just pray, commit them to you. You know each one by name. Father, we pray for those who couldn't even be here today. Maybe it's the snow or maybe it's the cold. But Lord, we think particularly of Mary Workentine and Annette Kreider, and we pray, Lord, that even today that they would be feeling a sense of comfort and peace from you. And that, Lord, you would use our arms to love them and to show them your love. And Father, we pray in particular for the Ouellette and Williams family who are grieving right now. Lord, that's okay. You say it's all right for us to grieve, for us to weep. We thank you, Lord, for Connie's life, and Lord, that she could share it with those whom she loves so dearly, her friends and her family. And Father, we just pray that you would give your peace to these families, and Lord, may they know your comfort even today. Again, may you use us, Lord, to just transfer your love to them. Father, it's so good to come into your house. It's so good to pray together. It's so good to know you. It's so good to know you care. And Lord, even at times when we feel like we failed, you still forgive. Even at times when we feel, Lord, you're so far, you're so close. Father, thank you for being there. Please forgive us when we do fail you. We just commit our lives afresh and anew. We surrender our lives to you today again, God, once again, as we should each and every day. Listen to us praying, God. Hear our prayer. Lord, we commit the rest of the service to you. May your word, Lord, speak to us. Just clear our minds from the clutter so that we can hear from you today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to this wonderful hymn sing this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I know that you've thought already, some of you are pulling out hymn books, and you're already looking for your favorite hymns that you want to sing this afternoon. So come, bring a friend, refreshments to follow. You can't beat this. Refreshments. Come and get refreshed this afternoon at 3 o'clock as we sing and enjoy some refreshments. Well, it's great. How many of you southern birds are glad to be back? Come on. I know there's snow. You brought it. Come on. It was great. Great till just a few weeks ago when all the snow came. Boy, how many of you are getting tired of shoveling? Yeah, I tell you. Yeah. It's great. What's that? Yeah, I'm getting tired too. Yeah, that's right. Little boy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and grandmother, and he's softly saying his prayers, and he said, Dear God, please bless Mommy and Daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep. Such a great prayer. Suddenly he looked up, and he shouted, "And don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday!" And he yelled this out. And his mother said, "Listen, there's no need to shout like that. God isn't deaf." The little boy said, "No, I know that, Mom, I know that, but Grandma is." When I was young, just about 8 years ago, I always questioned, why do people pray? I did. I mean, what is the reason? I would go to church with my parents, and we would all wait in anticipation as the minister would rattle off some words, and I'd just sit there and I'd wonder. Well, he did that. I began to pick up a few things as he did that. I began to understand some things. I began to understand, first of all, that prayer is to be something you cannot understand. That's what I learned from this minister. In fact, I learned that prayer was to be long. In fact, I think the longer the better. That's what it seemed like. And he'd use lots of words like sanctification and justification and edification. And I think there was even an inebriation thrown in there somewhere. I'm not sure, but as a child, praying was something that seemed to be like for holy people. People who were more spiritual than I was. And because I thought those long words must be important. I just wish I knew what that was all about. And I got to the point where I thought prayer was something that was magical, you know, and like kind of like the bike, you know, praying for the bike. And I thought, man, if you pray it kind of like a magic system, then God will look after it. So I learned how to pray that way at the age of 8. And I don't know what I can't even recall, but I pray things like, God, help me through your sanctification and justification to do well as I edification my test in school tomorrow, avoiding inebriation. And I could never figure out why I would get a C. You know, when I pray, I go in there and I pray, you know, God, I just got to pass, you know, but then I figured out you had to study to pass, you know, because God, he didn't do magic. He wasn't a magician. He was God. Let me tell you, first of all, that prayer is not magic, and it is not something that I understood as a child. And I think prayer is not something that we can even comprehend sometimes as adults. It follows really no logic. So we're returning back to the basics. That question pops up, why pray? I think if we're honest, it's a question that we've all asked at some point in our life. At some time, we've asked that. Why should I pray? What's the point in praying? Maybe even today, you're asking very similar questions. Why do I pray? Why pray? Jesus taught some wonderful things about prayer. And wonderful things about communion with our Heavenly Father. Why pray? Because first of all, prayer transforms. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, I invite you to turn there into Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be all over today. But look at Matthew chapter 7. So I want you to see this. Jesus spoke about the foundation that is necessary in our life to carry us through. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to look at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its very foundation on the rock. A strong foundation. Now compare that with verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. In this comparison, Jesus talk about the sure foundation, the rock. And he talked about the unstable foundation in the sand. But I want you to see, in the context here, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. You see, Jesus spoke about the necessity of us having a relationship with him. See, prayer transforms. Prayer changes. This is at the top of the list for me. Prayer changes people. How many times have you seen, how many times have you witnessed, how many times have you heard someone say after having gone through a time of tragedy or a time of loss or a time of grief or a time of sorrow, a time of maybe illness, a time of struggle, you've heard these words, I don't think I could have gone through what I've gone through without prayer. I don't think I could have made it without prayer. And then we hear what happened and how prayer provided a transforming of the spirit that made it possible to walk through the storm, to make it through the pain, to make it through that tragedy, the firm foundation. That's what Jesus talks about in this passage. Take time with me. Take time so I know who you are. Jesus wants to know who you are. Well, how do you get to know someone? I was trying to figure this out. How do you get to meet together, talk to one another, you know, spend time together? This is how couples get to know one another. They come into my office, you know, a couple looking to get married, and I help them get to know one another even better, hopefully. That's how best friends become best friends. They sit and talk about everything. Spend time together. Being vulnerable together. Jesus wants that with you. He wants to know you. Last week we talked about the Bible and the importance of reading the Bible because it's God's word to us. But just as the Bible is God's word to us, prayer is my word to God. I can sit and I can read. God talks to me, and he's all the while waiting to hear from me. It's so important to our life, friends. Stomper. It's like little Johnny misbehaving, and he was sent to his room. And after a while, he came out of his room and informed his mother. He thought it over and said a prayer. So he said a prayer right there. Mother said, fine. She was so well pleased. She said, if you ask God to help you not misbehave, Johnny, he will help you. She was so proud of him. Till Johnny said, oh, I didn't ask God to help me not misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me. Prayer transforms. I find that when I pray, when I sit still before the Father and just sit and talk with him, I've learned as hard as it is, I've understood that I just need to be who I am with him. I can't be some theological student who has just the right words to say. I need to spend time with the Lord so that he knows I'm real. Now, I know we can start saying, wait a minute, now Christ knows me. I mean, I'm one of his children. I mean, he knows who I am, of course. You're important to him. He knows you. But the point is, Christ wants to transform you. And he can only do that when you come to him and seek that inner relationship with him. See, it's not a one-way train. It's he wants a return trip. Let me tell you, prayer changes people. That's why when we're struggling, when people are hurt, even non-church people, when they're struggling, they'll ask this question: can you pray for me? Even those who don't understand the church or how this all works, they know the power of prayer. Read Reader's Digest. See, I brought this up here just for this purpose. So you saw me carrying it, and I brought it up so when I choke, I can sip it. Sip it already, Devin. But why pray? Because prayer transforms. That's why I pray. Anytime I come before the Lord and I sit with him and I say, God, I'm having an issue, what happens is I'm changed. I'm transformed. That's what happens. But prayer also strengthens. Prayer also strengthens. And I want you to see this in John 17. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture is John 17. And you know, I've talked about it before, but I just love this passage because it teaches so well. John 17. It teaches a tremendous truth, but there's many truths here. But of it all, I receive such comfort in knowing one thing. And I want you to see this. Look at starting verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. Now, what did he just say? I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world, he says, just in verse 33 there of 16. This world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In me you may have peace. And then he goes on and says, after he said that, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. And he prayed a most beautiful prayer. The best source in this life is Jesus. I have to take a sip. You got to cut the mic when I... Because you don't need to hear that. Can you hear it? Is it coming through good? Okay, good. He prays words. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and he has this amazing conversation with his Father. And he speaks very openly. He speaks about his purpose to God. And he tells his Father that he accomplished the work that he was given. And look at this. Father, he says, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. See, that's such a powerful prayer to me. Because then Jesus moves on and he prays for his disciples and he prays for their safety and for their protection. And then he surrenders them to the Father for his care. And then Jesus prays for all believers. This is a prayer for you and for me, a prayer for unity. A prayer for oneness. He prays for the love in which God loved Christ may be in us, and that we may understand the vastness of that love. What a prayer! When did Jesus pray this? Did he pray this prayer during a particularly wonderful time in his ministry? Did he pray when things were going wonderful and everything was exciting and there was real joy around him and there was no issues or no problems? Jesus prayed this prayer just before his journey to the cross. Now, why would Jesus pray immediately before the most difficult trial of his journey on earth? In this torturous hours leading up to the crucifixion, Jesus knew the horror that was waiting for him. He knew what was coming. He knew the excruciating pain. He knew both physically and emotional terror that was imminent. He who knew no sin, who was repulsed by sin, would have to take on all the filth, garbage, and corruption of every person, past, present, and future. Yet Jesus knew that his strength was found solely in the Father. He knew that he must prepare himself in those last few moments before the horror of the cross. He understood that his strength could only come through prayer to the Father. He moves into the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Prayer. And Jesus found it possible to be obedient unto the will of the Father. He even cried out, saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." How often do we pray such a prayer? How often do we knowingly spend time, such time with our Heavenly Father in prayer? In that excruciating moment in the prayer garden, our Lord was able to struggle through what lay before him and emerge with the peace that passes all understanding, but he needed more than ever to go and pray to his Father for strength. Prayer strengthens. It's kind of like Joe, Bob, and Dave. Perfect example of how prayer strengthens. They were hiking. They were in a wilderness area. They came upon a large, raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side. They had no idea how they were going to do this. Joe was probably the most religious out of the group, so he prayed. He prayed to God, and he said, "Please, God, give me strength to cross this river." Poof. God gave him big arms, strong legs. He was able to swim across the river for about 2 hours. Almost drowned a couple of times, but he made it. He's at the other side. And seeing this, Dave, he was impressed. He said, "Wow, I'll pray to God too." So he, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river." Poof. So I gave him a rowboat. He was able to row across the river in about an hour and almost capsized a couple of times. It was pretty raging, but he made it the other side. Bob saw this. He was impressed. He saw how this all worked for the other two. And so he thought, he prayed to God and he said, "Please, God, give me the strength. Give me those tools. Give me the intelligence to cross this river." And poof, God turned him into a woman. Just a minute. She looked at the map, hiked upstream a couple of hundred yards, and walked across the bridge. Real men don't need instructions, I guess. Prayer strength. It's in such moments of garden prayer that we find the strength, unknown, unexplainable strength to carry on. And I am sure that all of us can recall moments that we have spent in our own garden of prayer. Those moments of pain, those moments of tragic trial, those moments where we finally just lift our hands in complete surrender to God. Say, "God, I just give up. I can't handle this anymore, God. It's yours." And then in those moments, we find an indescribable peace that overwhelms us, and we can almost hear God say, "I've been waiting for you to let go. I've been waiting for you to let your fists go unclenched." Like Oswald Chambers said, "Wherever God has placed you and whatever your circumstances, you should pray, continually offering up prayers to him." You may be even entering a garden experience this morning. You may be feeling that sense of frustration with where you're walking. Maybe you're dealing with a situation with another person. You're frustrated with them, or maybe you're dealing with bitter feelings towards other people. Maybe it's relationship issues. Maybe you realize this morning that you're holding on to something that you know you need to let go of and let God deal with. Something you know you need to surrender to Him. Friends, I cannot tell you enough that our Lord is waiting for you to do so. He wants nothing more than to strengthen you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to give you His peace. He wants to. Peace is, that's what we search for so many times. Peace is what we long for. But we often forfeit peace, as the hymn writer wrote. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All we because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus set this example for us. He knew the strength that He required to complete what God commissioned Him to do could only be found in prayer with the Father. Why do we pray? Why pray? Because prayer transforms. Prayer strengthens. And prayer refreshes. There's a passage in Mark chapter 1. Just one verse, but it speaks loudly. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." Wow. When I read the word solitary place, I mean, we all need some solitude in life. It was funny when I was getting a treatment on my back. The lady who's doing it, she said, "So do you find that people fall asleep on Sunday morning during your sermon?" And I said to her, I said, "You know, I always hope that they do." And she said, "Why? Why would you say that?" I said, "Because," I said, "we're in such a busy world that if they come to church and get rest for 1 hour, I'm happy for that." She thought I was crazy. She still thinks I am. Don't you fall asleep, please. Just telling you what I told her. But sometimes we... Honestly, we live in such a world of hustle and bustle, getting things done and organizing things and putting cell phones, pagers. Our world is never alone anymore. It isn't. Clock radios, television. I mean, everything around us always drowns out the solitude. And we need a sanctuary. Now, I want you to just note with me before in this passage, Jesus went about just going, He was healing men, he drives out an evil spirit, He calls the first disciples, He heals many people. He's tired. He needs to be refreshed. Even before this, He was tempted by Satan. Jesus knew that He needed to be refreshed. How? Early in the morning, it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Now, he must be crazy. Why didn't he sleep in? He got up in the early morning to pray. Because he knew he needed to take time to sharpen his life through prayer. He just didn't continue to serve God without prayer. He knew that he needed time alone with the Father to pray. How about you? Do you pray? When you need transformation to occur, when you need strength to carry on, when you need to be refreshed, pray. God wants us to pray. We must pray. God desires us to pray for our benefit. See, that's God again. Always thinking of us. Notice in this passage that after Jesus prayed, he continued his ministry. After he spent time alone praying, sharpening his servant heart, then he continued his ministry. Then he began to travel. We must keep our lives ever sharp through prayer. Prayer is not only fundamental to success in the ministry of God's church, it is foundational to the Christian life. And I believe that we must pray because of what prayer does to us, not what it does for us. What it does inside of us builds that firm foundation, that rock that we need to stand on when the storm hurls in against us. Someone once asked George MacDonald, the Scottish preacher, why if God loves us so much, here's the question, why? If God loves us so much, and knows everything we need before we ask, must we pray? Listen to this. Here's his answer. I wish I could do it in Scottish. What if God knows prayer to be the thing we need first and most? What if the main object in God's idea of prayer be the supplying of our great, our endless need, the need of himself? What if the good of all our smaller and lower needs lies in this, that they help drive us to God? Communion with God is the one need of the soul beyond all other needs. Prayer is the beginning of that communion. Jesus took time to pray. It's not easy to find time to pray. But prayer is so vital between us and God. I remind you where I began this morning. I told you a portion of when I was a child and I was afraid to pray because everybody used those words and I thought God was a magician. I was all wrong. I feared that somehow God just couldn't hear a little child like me. But Romans 8:26 came to my rescue. Won't you put it up there? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I don't know of anything more comforting than that. Because it doesn't matter how I say it. It doesn't matter how I approach God's throne. What matters is that I'm in the garden of prayer. No matter what I walk through, no matter what difficulty I struggle with, no matter what words I speak with, I do have an intercessor, the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit praying for me, I really do know that all things will work together for good. You see why prayer is so critical to living? You see why it's necessary to pray? Because it changes people. It gives strength. It refreshes. No matter how I say it or how I do it, it works together for good to the glory of God. I'm going to close with this, so please close your Bibles. And we're going to be a cheerleading team this morning because I want you to join in. But it's a little poem, and I got to say it. I'm going to say it for you. I just thought it's so fitting. I'm going to say these letters. I'm going to give you these letters ASAP, and that's always say a prayer, all right? And you're going to join in with me with always say a prayer. There's work to do, deadlines to meet. You've got no time to spare. But as you hurry and scurry, ASAP, always say a prayer. In the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best. Let God do the rest. ASAP, always say a prayer. It may seem like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down and take a breather. ASAP, always say a prayer. God knows how stressful life is. He wants to ease our cares, and he'll respond to all your needs. ASAP, always say a prayer. Now that's why I pray. I pray because my Lord is just waiting for me to talk to him. Let's pray. This morning, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe today you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I came this morning with that very question on my heart, why pray? Why? Now you know why. Now you know the relevancy of it. Now you know the need to just talk to God and let go, unclench your fists and let him have it. Cry and weep. Take solitude time. Let him have your concerns, your cares, your burdens. You know that prayer maybe doesn't change what's happening around you, but prayer does change you. Some way it does. Prayer can refresh you. Prayer can strengthen you. Maybe this morning you're right now talking to God and you want to say, God, I never thought I had the words to say. I always thought I had to have the right words to say. And I want to talk to you now. I want to be your friend. I want to have a relationship with you. Maybe you want to tell him that take your hurt, take your pain, take the circumstance, take the relationship, take your budget. I don't know what you want to tell him to take. Maybe you want to ask him, Lord, transform me. Lord, refresh me. Lord, strengthen me. I don't know what you want to tell him to do for you, but talk to him. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed if you're coming to him and saying, God, I just want to get back to the garden of prayer. I want to pray once again to you. I've been neglecting it. I want to pray. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, as we sit here today, it just, Lord, I can't even understand how this all connects, but I do know the importance of talking to you. I've learned it so many ways, God, in so many circumstances and in through so much pain and trial. God, we know that we can never do it without you. Lord, even as a church, we've walked through stuff that we just haven't liked sometimes. We've questioned, not you, but we question why we walk through it. God, you know why. You walk with us, you care for us, and you give us the strength to carry on, even sometimes when we don't want to carry on. Lord, in the busyness of it all, sometimes we lose that solitary moment that we need to spend with you. Father, this morning we want to return back to our first love, and that's you. Thank you for allowing us the garden of prayer. Thank you that we can approach you no matter who we are, no matter how we say it, no matter how we're feeling. Even if we can't say anything, God, just sitting with you, you know our heart, and you know what's going on in our life. Father, today we just ask your blessing upon us. As we walk back to the basics, as we read your word and as we talk to you, Lord, we know that we can do this and we thank you. Bless us now, Lord. Bless each one. Bless our families. Protect us, God, as we serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.